I was thinking about when you, you know, when you or other people say the word church, a lot of times people automatically think of a building or a place where Christians go and worship, or they think of a denomination, like I go to the Baptist church or I go to the Catholic church. And no doubt that's true. No doubt that's true. But the church is so much more than just a building or a denomination. It's so much more than that. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And it's defined as the assembly or the called out ones. That's you. And when you see the word church in the Bible, I want you to remember that it's not talking about a building, but it's talking instead about people. And so, for example, Romans 16 at the end, when Paul is giving a greetings to the fellow Christians in Rome, we find him saying to Priscilla and Aquila, greet also the church that meets at their house. And I want you to notice, Paul, he's not referring to a building. Not at all. He's talking about the body of believers, a local body. In the scripture, we see that it's the community of believers that are caring for one another, loving one another, laying their lives down for one another, and all the while they're encouraging one another, teaching and building up one another in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from the first century all the way until now, nothing has changed. Believers are called to be a part of a local church, a community of believers. And so for us, River Community Church, we believe that the Christian life is best lived out in the context of small groups. Small groups take us outside of these four walls into different places all over the city of Wichita. It's where we learn to do real ministry, real life ministry, real life situations. And that's why we call it the living room of our community, because it's where we do life together at. And that's why you'll hear us say things like, we don't do small groups. We are small groups. It's in our DNA. And this morning, I just really want to cast a vision for you to plug into a small group, to get plugged in. And so let me begin just by kind of unpacking what I mean by the term small group. A small group, it's simply the church, right? What we call the assembly, ecclesia. And it's where we see this life of faith lived out. It's where we come together on Sunday and we hear the preaching of God's word. And then we come alongside each other throughout the week. And we flesh it out. It's where we learn to walk with Christ. It's where we learn to live out our faith in real and practical ways. It's a place where people care for one another, where they spur one another on. A place where we built up, where we can be built up, we can be encouraged, and we can be prayed for. And yes, corporate worship, what we're doing here today, is important. It's vital. But just coming to church on Sunday won't get it. You see, the crowd, they can't know you. They can't pray for you. They can't walk alongside you. They can't speak into your life. They can't come alongside and minister to you when you're walking through a major crisis. And if that time hasn't come, it will come. And you're going to need people to come alongside you. But a small group can do that. A small group of believers can do that. And this is where ministry happens. And that's because we're made to be in relationship with one another. That's what Hebrews 10 tells us. Hebrews 10, 24, right? We're to consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds and not giving up meeting together. We can't do that. We gotta meet together. Because that's where we encourage one another, all the more as we see the day approaching. So if we're going to live this verse out, we've got to realize it plays out in the context of relationships. And small groups, it's a place where folks gather weekly in homes and businesses and restaurants and schools and gyms and lunchrooms, all kinds of places for the sole purpose of walking with Jesus together. And these groups are led by men and women who are just like you. And so if you're a group leader or an LIT, if you're in some type of leadership, will you just raise your hand, please? Look at that. Look at that. Thank you. I want you to see our leaders. You know, they haven't been to seminary. They don't have theological degrees. And some of these leaders are married, some are single. And chances are they have the same worries, the same stressors that you have going on in your life. Like kids who stress you out, right? Demanding bosses, financial problems, and really a host of other things. But listen, in the midst of all of this, here's what they do have. They have a strong desire to grow in their walk with Jesus and a strong desire to help others grow in their walk with Christ as well. See, these small groups, they exist for the sole purpose of carrying out the mission of doing life together in the context of community. And so the mission is simple. You see it on the wall in the foyer when you come in. You see it on the bulletins every week. Our mission is this: to know and love God and make God's love known to others, right? It's the great commandment and the great commission. It's Jesus. He said the first thing we're to do is love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then right along that first commandment, we're to what? We're to love others as we love ourselves. And so what better way to do that than to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus with others? You see, we believe small groups are the perfect setting for this to happen. It's where relationships are built. New people are welcomed and invited in. And it's where we see folks coming alongside each other, praying for one another. It's where we learn to understand and apply God's word to our lives. And small groups are a place where people can speak into your life. A place where you can find spiritual accountability, encouragement. A place where powerful transformation can take place in your life and the lives of others that God has brought into your life. See, small groups allow us to be known beyond just the surface level. And today, we can make friends. We can make friends on social media by the hundreds, maybe the thousands, right? And yet, at the same time, people are longing for someone to genuinely know them and to care for them. It's important to them. They're longing to be spoken to with thoughtful and meaningful words. I was reading a recent study, a secular study, that showed that we're heading towards disconnection in a big way. And here's just a couple of stats that I pulled out of that. 27.2 million people are living alone right now. 27.2. More people say they feel lonely now than at any other time. And of that 27.2, 25% of them say they have no one that they can turn to as a trusted confidant. And yet people are longing to be known. And we have this insatiable need for connection. And I'm guilty of that at times. I mean, give us just 2 seconds of downtime. And what are we doing? We're reaching for our phone. We're scanning Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I do that. You know, chances are we have folks here who can identify with these stats. But here's the good news. The good news is you're not a stat. You're not a stat. You're a person of great value who's made in the image of God. And you can choose to do something different. And being a part of a small group is a step in the right direction. They give you a place, a small group will give you a place where you can be open and honest with people. A place where you don't need to put up a facade. A place where you can put off falsehood. And that you can speak truthfully with one another. A place where you can be real. Where you can build trust. Where you can speak the truth in love, and where we can grow together with Christ. See, small groups are where, as we come together, we learn to live out our values. You hear them all the time. They're embedded into the sermon almost weekly. Things like living faithful, being faithful, where we learn just to walk in obedience and trust the Lord Jesus day by day as we obey him and we're faithful to walk with him in what he's put before us each and every day. We learn to live a single story life. You know, there's but only one life that you have in all of its totality, and it belongs to Christ. And that means all dimensions of your life, right? Your hobbies, your work, your finances, your spiritual side. We can't compartmentalize, though. They all belong to him, to Jesus. Small groups are where we learn what it means to become like Jesus. And we do it when we spend time together in the gospel, learning about Jesus, listening to him. And when we do this, it transforms us. Over time, it transforms us. The more closely we walk with Jesus, the more we will be like him. And here's the really cool and amazing thing, is that the chances of this happening go up exponentially when we do it with others in our lives. It's true. It's a fact. Small groups are where we learn how to love people. It's Romans 8, or 13:8. What a great verse. That verse tells us that we can, you know, we can't help but love people as we just start and stop and think about the love that has been lavished upon us. And when you think about that, Christ's love, it compels us to give our lives for his glory and his glory alone. And I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that this kind of life can be lived out in community with others, where we live these values out together, walking in one accord with Christ. And I found for over 20 years, I think it's 26 years now, of my life. I found every bit of this to be true in my own life. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to hear from others whose lives have been impacted by being a part of a small group. So why don't you guys come on up right now, and we're going to shift gears, and we're going to have a little makeshift small group right here. So come on up. You guys gather up. These are just some folks that have been walking with Jesus, and they've been a part of a small group. We have Doug and Judy Ledbetter, and a neat couple. Both of their parents are scholars, and they're here from... I'm just proud of her dad. Her dad is a professor at Midwestern Seminary where I went. And so it's kind of cool to have them here. And then we have the Peters, and they're just a neat couple. They're brand new. If you remember, they were baptized a couple months ago right here. They have really thrown in, and David is a lineman for West Star. I love saying that. I love him. He's one tough dude, man. He's out in all the elements. He keeps the power going for us. And while he does it, he walks with Jesus, and he's learning how to walk with Jesus. So I'm excited to have them a part of small group life here at River. And Aaron, my son, is here, and he's been a part of River since he was two. And so I just wanted them to share with you a little bit about how small groups have impacted their lives. And so, Lindsay, we'll start with you. Why don't you just share with folks? She's excited about being up here. Can you tell? Yeah. Here, let me turn that mic on. I got to turn that on. Okay, good. All right, thanks. So how did you get plugged into small group, and why has small group become so important to you?
Well, my friend Jonna, we've been going to River for almost 2 years now, but the first year she said, Lindsay, you should really try out a small group. You get to know people. And I was like, no, that's really not my thing. I'll just sit in the back and meet people and, you know, just talk then. And she kept saying, no, you know, come, just go try a small group. And I was like, no, I really don't want to go to a bunch of group of women that's crying and talking about feelings and emotions and all that. I was like, that's not really my thing. And she's like, yes, do it. That's not how it is. I go, yeah, that's how most women are. I don't do that. So anyways, Joyce Larson happened to come up to me. She's like, hey, I'm trying out this small group. Come try it out with me. And so I prayed about it, and I said, you know, maybe I should just try it. So I did, and wow, I just realized how judgmental I was being. It was amazing. There was 10 women in there, and they all brought something to the group. Everybody was different, and personalities were just different. And, you know, they helped me. I had a hard time reading the Bible and understanding it some, and they, you know, gave me references to use to help me. And when someone was going through something, I mean, it was hands-on praying, and just, it was amazing. And I was very blessed to have met two girlfriends out of that I've become really close with. And I've just really enjoyed their friendships. And so I didn't hardly ever miss, and I just enjoy going every week. And now David and I have, with schedules and everything, now we've decided to try a couples group, which is new to both of us. And he's excited because he gets to spend more time with me. Right, honey? You get to, what better way to spend an evening than with your wife? So, yeah, I mean, it's just been a blessing.
Yeah, that's great. And did you hear that started because of an invitation? She was just invited. Yeah, thanks. Well, Dave, you know, you were kind of resistant to plugging into small groups. And so I'd like you just to kind of share with us some of the reasons why you were resistant. And then how did group life end up being different from what you were expecting?
Okay. Well, my wife told me I should start joining a small group. So I was like, well, I don't really want to because you know, guys don't talk about their feelings, and I'm not going to either. So, you know, I was hesitant about that, and I finally, we found a group for me, and I started going. And it was a lot different than what I thought, because you find out in group that everybody has the same problems as you. You don't have to talk about them, you know, but if you do need to talk about them, there's somebody there for you. And, you know, it keeps you in it. There's a lot more, like me, a new believer, that I don't have a lot of background knowledge in it. So as I read through the Bible and different things, I don't understand most of it. But there's people there that have a lot of knowledge and been doing it for years that can help you out with that. And, you know, it gives them the ability to help you and help you learn some of that stuff. And it even helps them, too, because if you have to teach, you learn yourself also. And so group has been very good. You know, I've met some friends out of it. You know, we get together, you know, meeting families out of it, getting kids together. Groups are just, it's a good thing. It's not what I expected.
Yeah.
So
that's good, Dave. Thanks. And he really has connected with Dave Tingley right over there. And it's cool to watch people's lives connect. And it's a beautiful thing when you see somebody just really connect and know you at much more deeper level than just at a surface level. Thanks, Dave. So Doug, man, we had a great talk about maybe 2 months ago about small group life and about being open and honest with people. And I want you to talk some about what small group, what it's meant for you to be known and beyond just the surface level. And how's that been true for you? How's that helped you out? What impact has experiencing that in small group life, what's it had on you?
Sure. So I'm not the most transparent person naturally. And probably, you know, before coming to River, you know, you'd ask me how my day was or my week was. I'd say, it was good. And then I'd kind of just move on down the road. Before we got into group life, I would pray about, you know, God, help me fix this, or God, help me change this. God, strengthen me here, encourage me here. And what I've learned through getting involved in group life is that God'll do that for you, but a lot of times he wants to use people in your life to help you with that, to change that, to kind of buttress you through it. And that's really what group life has done for me. We've been going to the same group for a number of years now. And as I've gotten to know the other members of my group, you know, you get accountability out of it. You get encouragement. You get, you know, just kind of doing life together. We'll meet together. We'll text each other just, you know, morning encouragement, or have you read? What are you reading right now? What's going on? Kind of follow up about things we talk about, praying for each other for, and that really shapes you. You know, these people know my rough spots, they know my struggles, my worries, challenges, and because they know that, they know how to pray for me, they know how to encourage me, and hold me accountable. And it's really just had a huge influence on my growth as a Christian.
That's good. Thanks. Judy, you've been a part of a small group. How's it helped you? And, you know, we talk a lot about living a single story life. So I'd like you to just share with people, for you personally, how has group life helped you to live a single story life? And how's that impacted you? And then one last question, how has it encouraged you in your walk with Christ?
So before coming to River, in my life, I've always grown up in the church, but this is the first church we've ever been to where we went to small groups. Every other church I've been in had more of a Sunday school type format, more of a teacher and listening type format. So I just have to say, I really think that God brought us to River for many reasons, but one of which I think is just a community that we've experienced in small groups. And I just have to say, if you're a young person in high school or college or just have been experiencing this for a long time, man, what a privilege that is. Because for me, I think personally, I really have always, like living a single-story life, have really struggled with just being honest. Like, I always felt like as a Christian, you kind of have to, everything has to be going good, or you have to be happy all the time. And I think that God has really shown me through small group that everybody experiences difficult times and negative emotions, and that other people are going through these things too, and they're there to encourage you and to lift you up and bear each other's burdens. And I feel like, you know, the first time we met at small group, we're in Josh and Kim Pierce's small group, and we meet separately, even though we're a couples group at the end. The ladies and the men meet separately. And so I remember the first Sunday her asking me, or the first night her asking me, you know, what are you going through and how's your walk with God and all these different things. And I just was surprised because nobody had ever asked me those questions before. And at least not outside of maybe my family. So I just am really thankful to God for what he's been teaching me, how he's been showing me that he's put people into our lives that we're not alone, and that he gives us the Holy Spirit, but he also gives us just community of believers to encourage us and walk with us and help us learn more about him and grow. And that's really what small group has meant to me.
So. Yeah, that's good. Well, Aaron, like I said, he's been here since he was two. And so he's been a part of River all his life. And so I thought it would be good to hear from him and get a perspective from him who, you know, he's been a part of it for a long time. So it's kind of like ingrained into him. I mean, what we value, he's lived that out. And so could you just share with people here how living in community has impacted your life?
Yeah, I think it is hard to take a bird's eye view when it is such a part of your life and has been. But one of the things that I thought how my life has been shaped, I went on a trip this summer with my friend Chris, who also grew up at River, and we were just talking about our friends and some of those friends that we grew up with who aren't walking with the Lord right now. And how our lives were different. And we weren't thinking we were superior, but we were just asking, you know, what did we do different? And part of it was just knowing when we started college and stuff that we were going to get connected in community, because that had been such a part of youth group growing up. We knew it was important. So it wasn't an option not to get plugged in. And so I've really seen how just living decided from that point has really helped me stay faithful to walking with the Lord. And another way it's just impacted me has been just small group life is a lot more comfortable for me than large group settings like this or Christian Challenge. Yeah, it's just I'm a shy introvert, I guess, so I like small groups.
Good, thanks. So we got just a couple minutes. I'll ask just a couple of you. Aaron, I'll go back to you, put you on the spot here. So since he likes big groups so much, what if there's folks out here who've kind of been on the fence and they haven't plugged into to group, they've just kind of been showing up here on Sunday, what would your challenge be for them to plug into group life? What would, just in one sentence maybe, or a few words, what would you say to them to encourage them to plug into group life?
I think group life is, it's a lot of small investments that builds up over time, and the reward of intimate, close friendships is the payoff. And so it might seem not very profound when you meet week by week, but it's a long process of just investing time with people that accumulates.
Yeah, that's good. Doug, I'm gonna pick on you. So in just one or two sentences, same question, what would you say to someone who's just not plugged in to a small group, but for whatever reason has not plugged in? What would you say to them?
I think it's easy for any of us to have reasons to not go, but I'd encourage you, you'll find so much reward in going to group that you'll get from people, those investments that Aaron was mentioning, but God will also use you to help the other people in your group, and that's part of how he wants to use you. I have a lot of days where I still am kind of like, I don't want to go to group today. I'd rather just sit on the couch or whatever. But I never have a night where I come back from group and I'm disappointed that I went. I'm always very thankful for the opportunity to be used and also to have people invest in me. So.
Good. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks. You can grab your feet. They did a good job, didn't they? Yeah, and if you noticed, I wanted a big crowd up here because I want you to see, that's what a small group is. That right there. It's just different folks, different ages, different jobs and careers, but all united in Christ, meeting together weekly and learning how to do this walk together, relying on one another to encourage us and to spur us on. And so if you haven't plugged in to a small group, if you haven't done that yet, man, I'd really encourage you to do that. Do like Aaron said, live decided. Just decide right now, you know what? This week, I'm gonna investigate a small group. I'm going to give it a shot. Maybe you feel like David did, and you're thinking, I'm not a touchy-feely kind of guy. I'm not going to do that. I promise you, it's going to feel completely different. When I first started coming to River, I met with Kevin Neuenswander, and he asked me, he wanted to do breakfast with me. And I was like, okay, I'll meet you for breakfast. I was young, 20-something, and I showed up, and Kevin talks to me, and we had a great time. We get up, and he stands up, and he hugs me. And I went like, dude, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I was in the military, so I'm like, what are you doing? And then, but I want you to know, I met with Kevin every Friday for 8 years, and you know what? I love those hugs. I look forward to those hugs every week because I know that he's got my back, and I know I've got his back. He knows I've got his back. It's one team, one fight. And that's what small